Well, today is Stewardship Sunday, and want to welcome you first-time guests, and especially first-time guests, if you could fill out one of those pledge cards for 2014, we'd really like that. That's why you're here. We welcome you. We don't expect any of that from you. We're just glad you could be with us. But it is Stewardship Sunday, and people, if you're familiar with Presbyterian ecclesiastical protocol, that means I should be talking about money today. However, I did that last week, and today I'd like to talk about something different. I'd like to talk about a secret. Now, secrets are very interesting. They have an interesting power. I've mentioned family secrets before, and what's interesting, a family secret, its power is in its secrecy. You name a family secret, and its power begins to dissolve and evaporate. So the power is in its secrecy. This is not true with the New Testament secret. And Paul is talking about the New Testament secret in our text today that we're going to read in just a minute. And he uses the word mystery, but it means secret, same thing. And in the New Testament, the power of the secret is in its announcement, its realization. And it wants to get out, not be hidden. It wants to get out there. It wants to be an open secret. And in fact, Leslie Newbegin, a great missionary to India from Great Britain, he wrote a book called The Open Secret. It wants to be let out, want to be out in the open. And our job is to help it get out. And the question I want to raise is, are we ready to do that? Are you? And I think we are, and I think you are too. Let's turn to our reading. It's from the New Testament, the book of Ephesians. If you brought a Bible or want to read along with the Pew Bible in front of you, feel free to do so. And Ephesians, I have a hard time finding some of these smaller letters, so I always remember, go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And so it's right after Galatians in the Pew Bible. It's on page 170 in the New Testament, the last part of the Bible. I invite you to stand if you're able for our reading. Let's pray first. God, we thank you for the scriptures. We thank you for pastors from the very beginning, pastors like Paul and his colleagues who help people and also help them with these writings, and they still help us today. So speak to us as your scripture is read. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Our lesson proper begins at the first verse of the third chapter, but let me just pick it up at verse 19. Paul, in the chapter of chapter 2, Paul's been talking about the cross of Christ pulling down barriers, particularly the great barrier between Jew and outsider or Gentile. And so he's finishing that discussion. Verse 19 of chapter 2. So then, you are no longer strangers. He's talking to outsiders, the Gentiles. You are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. And then he continues on. Christ is the barrier. He's made that, and you're a part of the church. That's what he said. And then he keeps going. Chapter 3, verse 1. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you've already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me, my revelation. There's that word mystery. It's secret. The secret was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery. There it is again. The mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, and here's the mystery. The Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. That's the end of our reading. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. You can see that Paul has a commission, a job here, and it centers all around this mystery or this secret. In verse 3, he says, I've been talking about it above, and that would be in chapter 2. But then he gets very explicit in verses 5 and 6. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy prophets and apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So it's been hidden. He's acknowledging that. That is, and then I just read it, yeah. Here's the secret. The Gentiles, or outsiders, have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, Doug, what's the big deal? I mean, we've heard this, you know, okay, those who are non-Jews are welcome into the family of God. It's no secret. But I want you to keep in mind, just step back a little bit. This is, you know, Paul was a rabbinic Pharisee. This is someone who was schooled, especially in first century Palestinian Judaism. You're occupied by the Romans, you know. You've been the political football for every nation under the sun, from Egypt to Persians and the Babylonians, and now the Romans are there. You're trying to hold on to your identity, and part of the way you identify yourselves is by identifying who you're not, and you are not the nations, you know. And the key barrier for you as a rabbinic, a Pharisee, and for any Jew in first century Palestine is you are God's people. Still are. You're God's people, and you define yourself by not being the goyim, or the nations, ethne, heathen, whatever word you want to use. So that's the context, and then here's this guy, Paul, saying, guess what? This barrier has come down, and not only has the barrier come down, but these people who are once outside are our brothers and sisters. They're co-heirs. They're members of the same body. Outsiders are in. Eugene Peterson, in his message translation, how does he do it? He translates some of it like, those who have known of God all their lives and those who have not heard of him all their lives, what I've been calling outsiders and insiders, they stand on the same ground. It's incredibly radical, and it has huge implications. Secret is out. It's something that was hidden, and now it's out. What a contrast this is with some of Paul's contemporaries, people who are engaged in what we call mystery religions. And I don't want to talk a lot about them, but in the first and second century, some in Jesus' day, and certainly later, at the end of the first century and into the second century, there were a number of mystery religions in the Greek world. And basically, they're characterized as keeping secrets. And if you are a newcomer to this mystery religion, you would have an initiation rite. You wouldn't even know what it was often before you were engaged in it, and so on. And then your goal was to keep all knowledge of, you know, that doctrine or that initiation rite secret. Don't let it out. And the New Testament church sometimes was lumped together with these mystery religions. And partly because we had some interesting rites like baptism and a strange thing we call the Lord's Supper. Easy to misinterpret. New Testament religion had nothing to do with mystery religions. You can see that in the text. Jesus was always about being out in the open. And you can see here Paul saying, no, we're not. This isn't a secret. This is out. There weren't secret initiation rites. It was public. To this day, in the Christian church, we don't have any private rites. Sacred acts. We don't do it private. Baptism is public. I cannot, and Presbyterian, we're really big on this because we believe in doing things together as a people in a public way. I can't do a private baptism as a pastor. I've only done one, and that was in a hospital emergency situation when an infant was dying, and that's it. So it's public. The Lord's Supper, we don't shut the doors and go into a corner. It's open. It's out there. You can come in here and not participate in the Lord's Supper and just watch, you know. Weddings. A lot of people don't know this, but a wedding that's done here in this sanctuary, it's a public act of worship. You can be a wedding crasher in the Presbyterian Church, but you can't crash the reception. You've got to have the ticket, the invitation. Remember that. So that's it. So it's out in the open, and it's open. No secrets. And Paul is a his task, he's commissioned to carry that secret, that mystery, and make it known. And you know what? That's our job too. That's the church's job. We're stewards of this mystery. Now, the question I want to ask is, how can we come alongside Paul in this task of making this secret open and known? And I have three things I want to share, three ways that we can come alongside Paul. First, we're going to come alongside Paul as we push out. As we push out. Paul says in verse 1, this is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus. I love the way he says this. For the sake of you Gentiles. He is captive to Christ. Why? For the sake of outsiders. He also understood he had a ministry to Jews too. You know, Paul, very interesting. You know where he goes the first time he enters the city? He always goes to the synagogue. He does. But then he also goes outside the synagogue. And he understood he was captive for outsiders. How about you? Do we have that passion that Paul does? I want to push out. You know, I think Bethany has a good sense. I've been here 9 months, but I get a sense we have a passion for pushing out. About a quarter of every dollar you put in the offering plate goes outside our walls. We staff for this. We budget for it. I think as you make your commitments, many of you today, your financial commitments for 2014, you need to know that this church is committed to making this mystery known. And I don't know if that's a motivation in your giving. Last week I talked about, I think the best motivation is really gratitude. As I shared last week, if the gospel is grace, then giving is all gratitude, you know. But I think you should have confidence that your giving in 2014, your giving today, it's going to make Christ known. And announcing his kingdom of healing, justice, and peace, which he launched. I was looking at an email recently from one of our mission partners, Jane Gunningham. And some of you know Jane, a member of our church here, one of our mission partners. And she had this picture of termite-resistant acacia trees. It's just great. And then she had some fancy word that helped with nitrification or something. I failed all that chemistry stuff. But she's basically, some of you know, she is announcing Jesus Christ by helping people to live in his kingdom of health and wholeness by engaging in sustainable agricultural processes. And it was just great seeing these termite-resistant acacia trees, and she's doing that. And a number of weeks ago, we had some members of our church here, Brad and Carol, who are one of our mission partners in another part of the world. And their big job, Brad's big job, is getting the Bible into places where it's been a secret and getting it out. And so our mission dollars are making a difference, getting the mystery out. And some of that happens locally here. I've been hanging around our high school youth group some the last few weeks. And you know, we have some young men and women whose family members aren't part of our church and really aren't at a church anywhere. And yet they're engaged in our youth ministry. I think that's so cool. In fact, there's this one guy, I saw him Sunday morning last Sunday when I snuck over to the senior high Sunday school. There he was. And Tuesday night, there he was. We were throwing a ball around in Fellowship Hall playing a sprout ball. I've never heard of that, but we've got a great game leader in our senior high youth group. One of our volunteers, a guy named Lars Johnson. Just incredible. If you know Lars, just. And there we were. That guy was there running around, dodging the ball and sprouting up in the fellowship hall. And then the next night, he was there again. Same guy. Serving dinner at Wednesday night dinner. His name is Doug. No, it wasn't. So I was just kidding. It wasn't him. And Doug, time to leave. We are pushing out, and your dollars help make that happen. We're going to join Paul in pushing out. Secondly, we come alongside Paul in his commission by welcoming in. It is not simply enough to push out with the announcement of God's kingdom in Christ. The point is also to live the reality that God has brought outsiders in. And that's a little different. You know, there are churches that are very good at funding money to go outside and announce the good news of Jesus Christ, but have difficulty opening their doors and welcoming in. Churches, I don't know if you're aware of this, they can be hard to crack into, you know. You ever been a first-time visitor at a church? Some of you are here today. Don't worry, I'm not going to make you stand up. That's hard stuff. I'm a professional. I don't like doing it, you know. But sometimes we're not, it's a different thing is to push out and to welcome in. Notice the language Paul uses here. It's very different than the Great Commission that we get in Matthew's gospel where Jesus says, go to all nations. Or what we heard from the Isaiah 49 text where God says to his suffering servant, it's not enough that I send you to the tribes of Israel, but you must go out to the ends of the earth, to the nations. Paul uses a little different language here. Verse 6, he says, here's the mystery. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs. What's that? They inherit the covenants with us Jews. That's what he's saying. You have become members of the same body. This great image that Paul has of Jesus Christ being alive, where? In the body of Christ, and outsiders are members of that body. And he says you're also sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. It's about being welcome in. This last week, I went down to the Seattle Center and the Science Museum down there. Fantastic exhibit, and many of you have heard about it, on race. Very well done. You should go down there if you haven't. Multimedia, stimulating intellectually and spiritually. I think for me it was. And one of the things I came away from down there, and I'm going to go back again, but one of the things I came away from is that the whole idea of race, just the way it's developed, particularly in North America, you know, it didn't come out of the scientific community at all. There's no reason for us to have this term, race. It's a sociological phenomenon. But the whole idea of race is really about boundaries. That is, you know, our whole racial classification, the whole institutional structures that were built around race and even racism is about boundaries. That is, who's in? And then defining clearly who's outside. Who's out? Or in Paul's terms in the second chapter of Ephesians, who's a stranger? And that's what race is about. In fact, it was interesting, in one of the videos, there was this scientist who was talking, and she was making the comment that colleagues or people that she meets are very troubled when they look at her, and they always ask her, what are you? And by that, they want to know what race she is. It's very apparent she's multiracial, but it's hard to figure out what it is. Very attractive scientist there. And she often won't tell people. You know, and just lets them kind of stew in it, and it drives them crazy. And we're like that. We want to know what you are, you know. And you know, it's true. Why do we do that? Because we want to put people in categories and have them boundaried. And it's true. And I was thinking about it this week. I mean, I do that too, you know. And I was in culture. You know, I grew up in a family that was racial slurs were not allowed in our household. In a very, in some ways, kind of a racist town. My sister dated black guys in the early 60s. But even in that culture, I still was enculturated, and it's true for all of us. What are you? You know, for some reason we want to know. In fact, you know, the best part of the exhibit down at Race at the Science Center, they have about 16 photographs of multiracial persons. And it's just headshots, there's no clothing, it goes down about the shoulder, and they're just right there. And then underneath, they have handwritten self-descriptions. They get to self-define. It's wonderful. Some of them don't even talk about the racial background they are, but some of them do. It's a very this is a funny exhibit, too, some parts. And in fact, they have this one two-year-old multiracial, about 8 different races underneath in small print, but in his writing, it was just all scribbles. And they had this one woman, red hair, I think it was blue eyes, but very pink skin, and underneath she had handwritten, I'm a Filipina. Most people don't believe me because I also have some Norwegian blood, and Norwegian blood will suck the color out of anything. Very good. You know, and I don't, you know, it's not someone from Ballard. I don't think so, you know. So, but anyway, it's very good. You should go down there. But here's the thing about those multiracial people. They defy the boundaries. They cannot fit. And I'm kind of wondering if that's a hope for America, is some of our multiracial brothers and sisters. Paul is interested in defying the boundaries. This is the gospel. This is the mystery, the reality in Jesus Christ. It's incredible. Paul could care less what you are. He's all about who. Who are you? You are a fellow heir. You inherit this great God. You're members of Christ's body. And you share the promises of Christ and his kingdom. It's remarkable, and we have the great privilege of being a part of that. It's not easy to do, to welcome it. Paul crosses so many boundaries. The early church was known by Roman observers for this first multiracial, multi-religious, with Jew and Gentile, that barrier came down. Socioeconomic barrier coming down and boundary crossed. The gender barrier crossed. And some of you are familiar with that Galatians 3 verse where Paul says, in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek, male nor what? Female. Slave or what? Free. That's right. That's a great economic class, social class designation and boundary. You know, he crosses all the political boundaries and ideologies. That's why here at Bethany, Republicans and Democrats, we get to sit in the same pew. They may not do that in Washington, D.C., but we do. We come to the same table. Why? Because our Savior, Jesus Christ, is our common bond. And this mystery of the boundaries coming down. Paul defies the boundaries, and I think we can too, in so many ways. So we want to push out with Paul, and we join him in this commission by welcoming in. And third, I want to say, we're going to join with Paul in his job and his commission in our own unique Bethany way. I'm going to talk more about this next week, but I'm just giving you a little preview right here. A few verses later from our text, Paul says this. He says, the wisdom of God is being made known through the church in its rich variety. And I love that. Right there, Paul's already having an understanding of a variety in churches, that churches have certain flavors and uniqueness. And what I think is important for us to do at Bethany is to get a handle on that we're going to push out and welcome in our own unique Bethany way. We're already doing it, and we want to build on it. And we have to live into what I call our DNA, or live into our genetic code, if you will. And we're not going to be like another church. We're going to be our own unique Bethany. In fact, Bethany, I will admit, it seems like Bethany could care less what other churches are doing. God's doing something here, and let's celebrate it. I think there's a lot of health to that. I really like that. And we want to get to know what that is and live into that. We're not going to be like everybody else. And hopefully those churches aren't going to be like everybody else either. This rich variety. I want you to mark something on your calendar. Don't do it right now. But right after the Lord's Supper, we leave here. I want you to do it so you can get your phones out then. January 17th and 18th, it's detailed in the bulletin. We'll be talking about it more in the next weeks and months. We're going to have a workshop, and I want you to come Friday evening and Saturday, 17th and 18th of January, and we're calling it Unlocking Bethany's DNA Code. I know that isn't very scintillating, but it'll be good. And if you've been coming here for 40 days or 40 years, I want you to come. Help me and our leadership come together to help begin to uncover this DNA. We're going to eat together. We're going to talk about some stories. We're going to share stories about heroes of our past here at Bethany. I want to hear them. And we're going to look at our some of our practices and our rituals. Not baptism and Lord's Supper, but more of the informal rituals that we are. All in the hopes of beginning a process of identifying some key strands of our DNA. And the goal in that is then to be better equipped to understand how we push out with the gospel and how we welcome in. And I want you to come. We want to know who we are. Kevin Ford, Billy Graham's nephew, in a book that our elders are reading right now, he says this. He says, churches don't change because they don't know who they are. Let's find out who we are so that we can better move into the future and be that church of mission and mystery openness that God wants us to be. Stewardship Sunday. It's about finances, yes, but it's about more. It's about being stewards of a mystery, a secret. Let's join Paul in pushing out, welcoming in, and doing it in our own unique way. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God of grace, I thank you for this church and for the ways you have worked with us and in us and through us and the ways you're doing it now and what you're going to do through us in the future. Help us to listen to you, to listen to your word and to be shaped by this good news, this mystery, this secret. Help us to know as outsiders, we've all been welcomed in to this wonderful kingdom, living in your grace. And be with us as we live our lives in gratitude to you. In the hope and power of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.